Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and Hustle, but it's not just any episode. This is our 4-year anniversary, which is hard to believe. So if you're listening, thank you very much. We wouldn't be here without you. It's a bit emotional. It doesn't feel like 4 years.
It's 4 years to the actual day. The actual day of the first episode was today, 4 years ago. So when we're recording now on the Saturday, it's exactly 4 days. Or 4 years, sorry.
Yeah, 4 years. So that's hard to believe. And so technically it should be episode 208, but we're past that already because we've done some double weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it shows you where you have not many podcasts make it this far, especially we haven't missed 1 week, which I'm happy with. There has been some late weeks with bits and pieces, but we just appreciate it. So we're going to do a bit of a different one this time. I think it's a nice time, as Mickey's highlighted to me, that just to touch over points that we think is like one of the main things we've got from the podcast, not just from doing it, but like maybe talking points or key things that we think have added up massively over time. And I think that's where most people are going to get the most value from this. And that's what it's all about. It's interesting because as time's moved on, if you listen to like the first episodes, they were very, like we had so much jotted down to try and get through. It was very planned, whereas now it flows. And yeah, I would even say we both speak better. It's very interesting. It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
It doesn't. Like, so when we started, this was when lockdown was starting to feel real. So we at this stage are about 3 weeks into the real lockdown. At this point, it's the leave the house twice to go for a walk. You're only allowed to go 4K from your house. All that mad shit was going on. So when we kind of started this, it was a weird time, I think, for everybody. And I think because I was just looking at the very first episode called MVPs. What was it called again? MVPs of something like that. MVPs of lockdown, was it? Isolation?
Yeah.
And it was like, we didn't know where we were going with this podcast, but we just knew we needed something to keep ourselves busy. And also we felt that people may have needed something to keep their heads busy while they were out walking or while they were out doing anything. But I think, as Tony said, at the start, we used to write down like ideas, bullet points. And we used to write pages, like 2 or 3 pages. And then Tony would have his 2 or 3 pages, I'd have my 2 or 3 pages. And then we'd end up talking about 1 or 2 things and going down mad rabbit holes, which we still do. But it was always like, we were always a bit more worried back then, weren't we? We were kind of like, fuck, I wonder, is that okay to be in? Or is that okay? And then we kind of made the idea of just like, fuck it, just no editing. We've had it twice in our lives.
Yeah, in 4 years. And that's just because it's not that we don't, I still wouldn't give a fuck if either edit went up. I remember exactly what it's one of them things where we're just like, whenever we edit anything out, I always do, it's not because of what backlash we'll get, it's because of the energy drain. Like I remember sharing stuff on my page before on Instagram, and I didn't care what it was, but it was just how clogged up my Instagram got in the deep. From hate, it didn't bother me. It was just, it annoyed, it frustrated. It didn't bother me at all emotionally or like trigger me, but it was just like, I was actually like, I actually can't get through to clients or anything here because the amount of these. So then it can melt you a bit. It does take bandwidth, don't get me wrong. But as you said there, I think one of the main things that I've learned from the entire 4 years is that if you look at the listenership, it's like everything is just reps upon time because our listenership has literally doubled every year. And that's just literally the exact same with my Instagram following. It's the exact same with everything. It's the exact same with muscle. It's the exact same with business. You only get from doing good work consistently over time. And that's the thing I've noticed. Like I remember we used to be buzzing to get like 200 listeners on an episode in the first year. Then it was 500 the second, then 1,000, then 2,000 or 3,000. So, and then, and so on and so on. So there is thousands that listen to each episode now, which is a bit hard to believe because you think about how many hours people are. But whenever you look back, it's just because the reps. And then as an individual, you become better at speaking. The topics get better. It flows better. And it's one of the things where it takes time to build anything where it passes a word of mouth. Like if the product is good enough in any realm, it markets itself over time. So like if my results are really good, that markets the business. If your DJ is really good, that markets the business. If your podcast is really good, people share to each other over time.
Yeah,
it's like naturally I bring up Chris Williamson's podcast because the amount of impact it's had on me. And then naturally that promotes it. So it's like when you make something so good that people end up just talking about it, then it really just sorts itself out. That's sort of what this is. You only get good at something over time. It's like my initial content was always really, really shit Instagram. But you just do enough reps that you become much better at it. And then that sort of solves your problem for you over time. And It is, no matter what it is in life, it's always that game of consistency. And I think that is the number one thing. It's the most frustrating thing because it's annoying. But like by consistency, I don't mean like a week or a month. It's years in the game.
Yeah, I remember we reached out to Brian Keane. Shout out to Brian Keane. We wanted him on as a guest early doors. And he sent back, he was lovely, and he sent back an email going, I have a rule of thumb where I won't go on a podcast until they at least have 27 episodes. Remember that?
And then
he was like, because most podcasts don't last that long. So he goes, I'm tight enough for my time, so I don't want to be giving my time to things that aren't going to be sticking about. And I thought that was a real good idea. But I remember at the time, I was still locked down going, fuck, I wonder why we had 27 episodes.
To be honest, I think I'll take that rule of thumb.
It's very smart. Like I get reached out to a lot of people.
20, is it?
20, I think it was 27. He said, I've still got the message. I'll bring it up on Instagram. I remember I get asked to go on a lot of podcasts, and amount of times that the podcast never, like I don't really go on that many, but the amount of times the podcast never actually ever happen. Like they never get off the ground. Because it is a massive commitment. People don't actually realize the amount of commitment it is, especially it's even a wee bit harder for us because like Tony, in the last 3 weeks we've recorded Texas.
San Fran and Mexico. It's a fucking nightmare.
Right? And that's I was thinking of the I've been in Australia twice recording, New York recording once. Been in England a few times recording, been in Cork, been in Copenhagen recording. Tony's been Mexico, America a couple of times, Dubai a heap of times, Spain an absolute heap of times, Bali a heap of times. And yeah, like
it's time zone a lot, and that's what makes it difficult.
Most people would just go, you know what, we'll miss this one. But
we also got to work around another individual. Like usually if you're working around one guest, that's all right because it's one off. Whereas that's the reason it's so tough to get guests on us, because if I'm in Mexico and I'm 6 hours behind, you're 6 hours ahead, and then we add in somebody in there from Australia, for example, it's a fucking siege. So it is one of the things where balancing around three people is tricky, as you said.
And then the other thing is too, we've been lucky enough where if one person can't do it, like Tony will call on Daniel Dargan, or I got Conliff McAlinden in the early days to cover one of them. And it's always something that we've always kept going. Even there from last week's podcast, somebody sent me a message going, did you really record that podcast at like 1:30 in the morning after a gig? And I'm like, yeah, like it had to be done. Like you wouldn't understand the amount of messages we get if the podcast is not up at 6 a.m.
Oh my God, my inbox gets lit up so much.
Like people get very upset on that Monday morning. Like,
but it's like a launch. It's because it's so part of people's routine. And to be honest, it would frustrate me because you know that it maybe brightens your day, or maybe you get the real insight from it, and it becomes part of your routine and all too. So for me, it is one of the things where you don't think about the impact it has as well. Like when me and you are just chatting, sometimes it doesn't feel like that until you get a message, or somebody reaches out to you, as you said. But it needs to become like anything, a non-negotiable if you want it to grow. And that's the same as like a date night for your relationship on a Friday night.
Yeah.
It's not about, it just doesn't suit this week. Even if you both don't feel like doing it, you are committed to doing it. It's the same as this. You do it on the weeks you don't want to, on the weeks you don't even feel it's needed, because that is the most important time to do it. Even if you had a shit time in the date night, you go, you do the rep, because that's the most important thing. Because you do the rep, it shows the commitment. It builds you. And people be like, that doesn't make any sense. It does, though. It's the same as this. I don't miss gym sessions. I don't miss Mark. Like you just make it non-negotiable. Like, and people underestimate that word, where it's like it's physically not allowed to happen. Like you don't sleep before it. And it's one of the things that when you bring that level of like, people say discipline and commit, but it's just honoring your word and keeping your promise. And if you can't honor your own word, your own promise to yourself or to what you're doing, then that's the reason you struggle, because most people started that and they don't follow through, and then they wonder why they can't build their confidence, or they say they're going to start getting themselves out there and then they won't approach a woman. So there's all these like million and one things of reasons why if you don't keep your promise, and that's probably one of the main overriding things that to me makes a really massive difference. And I would say it's probably is one of the main things. It's the consistency, but it's as boring as it sounds. It's an overview of what we've done. It's like keeping the promises to yourself. Like whenever I was at my lowest point, the podcast has been there, and people listening back to like not last August, the August before, where I was going through that bad breakup and I was really struggling. Like you'll notice how episode by episode I was talking about what I was doing. There was talks of MMA, there was talks of getting discipline back, training. It's keeping that promise, even getting up early. You can hear me just slowly discipline myself, and I'm probably never in a better headspace, better emotionally, physically, mentally, or look better. I actually feel like, and I'm not even saying this from a perspective, but like, I actually feel like I look semi younger now compared to a team months ago. Which
you do, you actually do. Like, it's the growth. I think even the growth I've seen in you from the start.
I feel like I was a boy.
Yeah, you were a boy, but you were a boy that had to really grow up because you were your business was really starting to kick, and you were doing well, but you were starting to look at property around then, weren't you? You maybe had just delved into it, didn't you? You were growing, but you were also becoming like an adult, you're becoming a businessman, not just a coach at that stage. Yep. And then you could see like the ups and downs. Like we've been through it all, from being in relationships, breaking up, more relationships, gone again, my mother passing, you know, lockdowns, and just different things. Like you launching, you know, your app, and you know, your growth on social media, and it's been like, if anybody's been here from the start, I know there's definitely a few people that's been here from day one, and I know by the stats there's people going back and starting from the start and like churning through 2 and 3 a week, and they're gaining like they're nearly up to date now. You will probably see a massive evolution in even our mindsets and like advice we're giving people, because we have like 4 years doesn't seem like a long time, but I think a lot of people grew up fast during lockdown and they were forced to. And I think a lot of, I know definitely my views from when we first started this podcast to now on a lot of things have changed. And I think Tony's probably the same. There's probably certain things we probably have better outlook. We're probably, I know we hate the kind of word balanced, but we're probably more of a living the life mode rather than chasing the life mode. Well, I know I am for sure. Whereas yeah. I think at the start, I'm not even sure. I must actually listen over the first few. And I think like if you were back then, we were very like, it was all in drive. Whereas now we're still kind of all in drive, but we're like, but you know, family comes first, relationships, you have to prioritize the things that matter the most. And I think that's part of our evolutionary growth, as even though the podcast is not for us, it's for the listener. I think we've actually probably got as much out of it ourselves as anybody has, especially with some of the guests. Like I remember what our first guest was, Tyler, was it?
Yeah, he was like seventh. Like
episode three. Yeah, it was three. So look it up here. Three. And I just remember like that was pre All Ireland, Conor Myler. And like then we had Paul Hughes, pre world champion Paul Hughes, pre UFC Paul Hughes, which he could be signed in the next couple of days. You know, the people we've had on are like, some of them have been, I've learned so much from a lot of them, even like Sean Fitz and Sean Casey, Daniel Dorgan. Somebody stopped me in Oma the other day, started talking about Daniel Dorgan because they were listening to the podcast. There's a lot of I think, and then the one thing also is, like we talked about this before, like we've never promoted really this podcast because it's never been about that. It's always been about people promoting it, people sending it to people, giving it to your friends, sharing it to your friends, sharing it on your socials, somebody else seeing it. There's no point us force feeding this podcast down people's throats. You know, if you want to listen, you'll listen. And that's the way we've always been. Like, I was just looking on Instagram. We haven't posted on Instagram in 50 weeks.
Oh, fuck, it'd be so long.
50 weeks is exactly the last post. So we are probably going to have to actually do that at some stage. But it is strange. Like, it's one of them. Like, would you have said at the start, do you think we'd be doing this 4 years later?
Hard to know, see, because whenever I commit to something, like, lock in. I'm like, you're going to have to give it 2 years. So for me, I was always going to give it 2 years at least, and then you sort of call it a bit. So it's hard to know how long it will go on for. It's hard to know if it'll just go on forever. But for me, you can't really, no matter what you're doing, you need to be going, right, I'm going to commit X amount of time. And for me, whenever it's a business venture or anything to do with that marketing side of things, it's like YouTube's, you need to commit to doing, like, one a week for, like, a year, 2 years to really see any momentum. And then review it and start to go back to the compounding effect. It's like my Instagram, like people be like, oh, do you know, like it blew up, but it didn't. It's doubled or tripled every year. So it's went, you know, 900, 1800, 5.3, 18.3,
yeah,
or 5.6, 18.3, 33, 116, down to 110, up to 450, and now it's at six, whatever. So it's just one of the things where like you get that the same with the listenership, you get that the same with even your body, your shape, but like it's committing for time. Like, but if you had turned around to me and goes, you'll have 600,000 on Instagram, you post most days for 6 or 7 years, I would have bit the hand of somebody. But whenever you turn around to somebody and you say, oh, you'll grow from 900 to 1800 followers in a year, you'd be like, oh, that is so fucking slow. And yeah, it'll take you 3 years to hit 10K. You'd be like, oh my God, what? And it's just so frustrating. But then the thing is, that's where that overnight success comes in. That's where like one podcast blows up or one small thing. But that, for me, it's more so with the impact. Like, this is a long form, so you can really understand how our thought processes work. And it's like one of the main things I always got was that lad that came up in the gym and said, yeah, I listened to your podcast, a friend shared them, and he was like, I don't think I'd be here without them around that time period you were struggling. And I couldn't help but just hug him because I was like, fuck, it that in itself made the 3 years of the time worthwhile, because I was like, that's probably helped. It might not have saved his life, but like whatever resonated with him, whatever moment it was, that for me is enough. Cause I'm like, all MRs put in just to make sure that one person's all right. That's all that matters. And if that's all you hear, then that's fine. If it only is one person, but usually it's not. Usually it's the amount of people it's affected, it's massive. And that's where the trickle down effect happens. Somebody says something, you say something, they share it, they give it to somebody else, they like it, they pass it on. And then even with that, the wisdom or the lessons you learn from learning from my mistakes or Mickey's or something we say that clicks and makes you reevaluate your life and then change your direction. My mission is always just to be a catalyst to change in a person's life. So if you ever see two parallel lines and one gets dinked like 1 degree, it ends up in a completely different position to the other one in 10 years time. And you don't even realize what the dink was or what the change in the 1% was, but that's what really adds up and makes the big, big difference. I think a lot of people forget stuff like that really does make it's them 1% changes to your thought process and to your mood, to your energy, to your day. Like if we can have a joke, have a laugh, give you an insight, give you a mindset, and it makes your day 1% better. That's the difference, Joe. That's all it's really about, because you're never going to make somebody happy all the time. You're never going to change somebody's perspective entirely. Like, you're not looking to revolutionize the wheel. You're looking to literally just give a little bit of a nudge in the right direction. Usually the nudge is it. It's like sailing, like 1 degree. If you're sailing from the center, like it's from Ireland to fucking the United States, and you sail out left and you go 1 degree to the right or 1 degree to the left, that's the odds of you end up in fucking Rio de Janeiro and fucking end up in Boston. Like, it sounds ridiculous, but like that is the magnitude of 1%. Because one adjustment to your sail, one adjustment to your mood, your energy, it changes maybe the fact you approach a girl or you don't, or you go to the gym, you get in shape, you don't go down that rabbit hole, and you don't realize where you can go if you make enough negative decisions. Like, people don't realize that. It's like, the decisions you make, the thought process you make on a day-by-day basis, that's where the small things you're inputting in your head massively add up. Whether we've helped with screen time, whether we've helped with small things, whether you've done it yourself, it's just that little catalyst to change. And that's all you really want. And that's all you want to be as well for other people's lives. Like, if everybody just focuses on helping everybody else, just that little 1%, you listen, you give.
Yeah.
You don't ask. You'll always get in return. I always highlight that. Like, I always notice that even with sales, with clients, or everything. Whenever you give, you always get. It's just a case. The more you give, the more you get. And it always comes back around. But I guarantee you that'll change your life. Because whenever, the more money I made personally, the more followers, the more muscle. Like, I always get the most fulfillment from giving, as I said before. Like, me and Daniel were talking about this, because I flew business class on the way back from Bali. That was my first time. And like, it was something I was really apprehensive about. And I was like, what would give me more of a buzz is watching my mom or my sister fly business class. Because, and I was like, I don't know why, but I was like, I just get more fulfillment out of seeing other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of the sense of where philanthropy comes from, whenever you start to earn really decent money and it comes to the stage where like, that's no longer a worry, that's no longer a stress. You realize that like, giving to people that would never expect it or helping out, it's like, Christmas this year, like, for example, like, my ones are away on holidays and I don't know where I'll be. And one of the first things that came to my mind was, I was like, who could use a hand around Christmas, Joe? Because I was like, it's just another day for me. Like, I know that's great, but my ones are going on a trip and I'm not going. So I was like, wonder, can I go down to a local, like local place, give a hand, or can I donate, or what? And I was like, it's funny that my mind didn't go there, because I was like, oh, I need to look good for social media. I need to look good for this. I need to look good for that. I just was like, well, what's going to actually bring me joy in that day? And I was like, probably having a laugh and doing something that's actually meaningful. And I was like, that's probably the only thing that makes a difference. So it's interesting. That's the way your mind goes. But whenever you get that fulfillment, like think about whenever you give a gift to somebody over Christmas, you always feel better than when you receive it, even though you maybe want something. And I think as you grow older, you realize that.
Yeah, I'd be the same. I get more out of giving to people than receiving all the time. I've always been like I love getting presents, don't get me wrong, but like me, say spoiling my wee nephew would give me a lot more love and joy than receiving any gift, just the wee face on him. But yeah, it's funny that like the amount of people that has come up over the years. I know, and or wrote this or said about how the podcast has helped them in life, has helped them in the relationship, has helped them in jobs, helped them start businesses, move countries, move home from a foreign country. And then the fella in the gym, as Tony said, another fella that I met one night in Downing's in Donegal, and he said that it is sort of something similar, said that it kind of saved him. And it is. It's very humbling for us as well that we see that we have that effect, because that's what we always said. Like, we might fuck about and have a laugh and mess about, but if you can take one nugget out of the whole 45 minutes, one 5 second snippet or nugget, that's our job done. You know, if one person gets one thing, that's all that matters. Because you know, at the end of the day, it's Tony is in the business of helping people in general, but also this is an extra string to that bow. But it is strange. It's a strange feeling, because like as a DJ or whatever, I would never have set out to be like Tony was a fireman, like life saving. And technically now what he does for with his clients in some cases is life changing, life saving. He's making them healthier, so he's probably, you know, lengthening their lives. And that's in him, that's bred in him. He was a lifeguard as well. So he's always been in a kind of way of helping people and saving people in a way. Whereas I'm a DJ, and it, you know, so for me, it was always like the yin and the yang, the muscle and the hustle. But it turns out that Tony was the muscle and the hustle, and I was just the hustle. In a way,
Definitely.
you know, it's funny, like the podcast has probably took about 10 360s from when it started. And we've had some wild episodes, we've had some wild serious episodes, we've had very sad episodes, we've had your guy, what's your friend's name that had the testicular cancer?
Oh, Damien McKeown.
Like, we know that that podcast has actually helped people. Like, we have messages about that podcast of fellas that have found lumps because of that podcast. And that's fucking phenomenal. That's mind blowing that this wee stupid thing that started off as a bit of crack and whatever, slagging Tony's wee legs and all to start. And then Tony getting diabetes in the middle of it when he used to make a prick his finger. And then thinking that because of our podcast, fellas checked their balls and found that they had a lump, or found the early days of lumps, which is mind blowing that you can have that effect on people's lives. But yeah, it is it's a kind of surreal. Like we're sitting here, it's 9:30 at night. I'm DJing in 2.5 hours. And Tony's in Mexico. And when we first started this podcast, we weren't allowed to leave our houses.
Yeah, you never think about that, but
Like, you
it comes
never
along.
think about the road that it's taken and the different people it's been on it and the road they've went on. You know, it's good, and it's, you know, it's something that we, you know, we don't know how long it'll ever go on for, you know, but we know as long as it's helping people, we both know probably in our hearts that it's something that we probably can't stop doing for as long as time will allow us to do, because we can't let people down. And not neither of me and Tony is in the business of letting people down, because as Tony said, it's a non-negotiable.
We probably, yeah. The only thing we should probably improve on is probably getting more guests and more specific topics. A lot of it is personal development. A lot of it is reflection versus, like, it'd be nice to get, say, somebody on for sales, somebody on for different dynamics that we probably aren't specialists in, Joe, even if it's just, like, female hormones.
Well, relationship's the one we've been looking for from day one, hasn't it? We need someone.
I think if anybody's listening, you know somebody that would be quite a good fit, whether it's a relationship coach, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a guidance counselor, whether it's a mindset coach, performance coach, whether it's a sex coach, whether it's fucking holistic therapy, whatever you think would add value to offer people's lives. Don't be afraid to show them our way, and then we'll also share the platforms, and remember that that will also push that individual, so you'll be doing them a favor as well, because we've got quite a big reach on it now. So it's one of the things where it would also drive them forward, as well as give us knowledge and give the listeners. So if you know there's somebody out there, even if they're just normal and it's not like a mad, they've just got a good story, they've got something to give, don't be afraid to reach out and say, look, this person actually would be great on it. Because I've listened to a couple of podcasts of late where it's the person's first podcast and they're just a business, they're a business owner and they're making good money, for example, and they're not on social media, and somebody's gave them the platform and you get a lot of value from it. And it's just the fact they don't have a platform. Not everybody does. So it's that case of giving out, because we've got a listenership, so don't be afraid to. And I think if you sit and pause now, like, one of the people I really want on the podcast is my sister. I want mom, because they're two people I take a lot of value, a lot of information from, a lot of knowledge. And it's like, there's two people that I'm like, in my mind now, obviously we can't have fucking everybody's mom home, but you get where I'm coming from. That it's a sense of who gives you value, who do you learn from, and then that, or give us topics, and then we can sort of script it to whatever you need and make sure that it's emphasizing to the route you want to go. Or if you're like, you know, he's covered this too much, then we can lean away from that. It's so simple, and we never look at it like negative. Like, constructive criticisms only take, you only are ever negative. If I'm ever triggered by somebody saying something, it's because it's usually true and I'm defensive. It's like, if somebody calls me short and I get angry, it's because I am short. If somebody goes, Joe, you're a right head, I usually just laugh it off because I know the truth. I know exactly where it sits. And it's like one of these things where you only get triggered whenever it's something's true and you're like defensive around it, or you know there's a deep down mean mind. Whereas I think we know the baseline here, and it covers us well. So it's one of the things where you're not ever going to feel like that. Whereas, like, if somebody was like, I think you should cover this, I think that's a bit much. I think shorter episodes like this, or you should get this person on, or there needs to be more guests, so it's repetitive, then you say that, and we literally dive in it. But it's one of the things where I think actually taking constructive criticism, asking for it, is really, really important in any aspect of your life, and not enough people don't do that. And it's tough to get that, because, like, if you imagine, like, see my coach or my business, or you're flubbing, nobody tells you the honest truth. People just don't come back. Like, you know, you don't go up to a restaurant manager and go, that meal was shit, I'm not coming back, that was this. And it's because the people are like, well, that's just rude. It is rude, but at the same time, if that happens enough times, then it changes, the person learns and actually helps them in the long run. And sometimes the harsh truth is actually the kindest thing you can do to an individual. Yeah. And that's honestly the only thing I ever want people to do for me, is just be open, honest, transparent, because it always, always serves me in the long run. Yeah. And whenever people aren't in the sugarcoat, you always pay in the long run. It's like sweeping relationship issues under the carpet, because it's going to end up a molehill and you're going to fucking smack your face off the ground.
Yeah, like, as I always say, like, if criticism is true, you can't look at it as a negative, because you're talking the truth. Like, if the food was shit, the food was shit. If you tell the restaurant the food was shit, you're helping the restaurant. If you tell us, didn't like that episode because of this, and this, we're not going to get offended, because that's your opinion, and it'll help us be better, and it'll make us reflect on it. It's just the same as, like, if you have a load of yes people around you and they're giving you yes, you're the best, you'll never grow. You'll never grow, because you think you have everything fucking sussed, and everybody's telling you you're the best in the world, and then you come up against the best in the world, and then all of a sudden you fucking see a different level. But because you've been sugarcoated and always told the positives and never the negatives, you'll never grow, because you only grow if you know you have to. I was just thinking there. Do you have a favorite episode that you have, like, done, or a episode that, like, sits out in your head?
It's got to be one of the last probably 6 months, I reckon. I think if I was to give you, what would be the one that sits out in your head?
I think the one with Dargan at Christmas, big time, and Output Espresso that we did.
I really enjoyed that one. That one was really good. I think there's a couple that I really like ones that we've done, and it's like whenever I video a reel and I'm like, oh, that's a fucking banger. Like, I know it's good. There was some round, I'm trying
to figure out. The Stoicism one was very good.
That 187, I think, is unbelievable.
Yeah, that stores him on eye. Yeah.
That's a good one. I think building character and pushing through was quite good.
Yeah.
The
Paul Hughes one was fascinating. The second one, because
that's a fascinating one, yeah.
Because the second one was like what he said in the first one literally all came true, like a prophecy. And then it's just like Paul's very open and he talks very openly, and you're getting the mindset of a world level elite athlete. And it's just fascinating. It's just when you would look at him talking and the way he talks and the way he articulates himself, you're like, fuck, you know, you're half glued to him, but you're also going, this man could literally kill me at any time if he wanted to. But the way he's intelligent speaking, you're like, fuck, it's just like the boy ticks all the boxes. And I remember listening back to that podcast or watching back to it and thinking it's just fascinating. Like,
it's a very good podcast, like, because that's not a word I'm really familiar with, so I found it very interesting. I like probing him too. I feel like it needed to be longer. I think the 180s for me, like quitting, 182, 183 quitting, 182 self-reflection, 187 stoicism. There's no 186 for some reason. I don't know what that's about, 187.
There's 187 stoicism. They're all there to the top 10 podcasts. So 184 is in the top 10, 183.
Yeah, and then I would say, like that, like the hard life one. Like, there's a whack there in the last while that I've been really, really good. I think they're the ones, like, for me, as time moves on, I feel like they keep getting better. Whereas I feel like if you listen before during show prep, it was quite difficult. And then Brian, it's just an interesting time here. But there would be the ones I would go for is the 180s. I think there's a lot of value in them personally. From
186 might have been taken down.
Maybe. I wonder what that was about.
I'm gonna have to go look at that.
I know, because when it seemed there, I was like, that's odd as fuck. But no, I feel like it's one of them things where, like, a podcast will reach out to you very differently depending on what area in your life. Like, if I listen to the same podcast at two different time periods in your life, you'll completely identify with it differently. It's just like anybody ever listen to this and then they read a book and then they're like, fuck, this book is speaking to my exact problem. It's actually not. You're just interpreting it in that way because that's the way you need it. It's the same as, like, if I'm saying a quote and you relate to it, you're relating to it because that's what's going on in your mind right now, but somebody else will still relate to it as well, even if they're not going through that same journey. I think a lot of people get caught up with their emotions, like, we're not realizing that, like, we all bounce in and out of different stages of it. So, like, for example, the best way to explain that is, like, emotional regulation. Like, regulation is something that men in particular are really bad at, and I found it very interesting listening to a podcast a while ago where it was, like, saying how most men just do not process emotions well enough, and then that's why certain individuals will speak to them no matter what they speak about. Because, like, if anything, Chris Williamson or somebody I look up to some extent, or somebody I find that I listen to quite a lot, like, I'll just start to reflectively take their advice on board for anything I'm doing. And I think that's the same when you listen to this podcast. Like, not that you look up to either of us, but in case of whoever you're listening to the most, it starts to reflect upon what you are like. And you don't mean to, but it influences you then in every decision. But that's why I think listening to the ones where we do a lot of self-reflection on the wins, the losses, the how to build yourself. And the thing is, what we do is not right in any means. None of what we do, we're just learning as we go. And the thing is, you're not supposed to take it like a Bible. I always say this, like, anything I say online and any, you take what you find good from it, you apply it to your life, you take that. And if you find something that doesn't benefit you, you leave it. Like, a lot of people find my level of unbalanced, like, I find it, I'm perfectly unbalanced but balanced. Like, a lot of people don't want that, and a lot of people can't cope with that, and that's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just couldn't handle it any other way. It's like, I want an exceptional life, so I know I can't be normal, average, and balanced. That's not how you get that life. So it's just that trade-off. And I think for a long time, as I said in that other podcast, the pressure one, I tricked myself into thinking that I was wrong for chasing more and being more, and it's self-worth issues and all that. But at the same time, it's just because of what I want and I'm willing to do it. Whereas if you are pushing for that and you just feel terrible and it's not right, then you know it's not for you and there's nothing wrong with it. The problem is whenever we get these expectations of the way our lives should be, and it's not how we act or how we become or what we do over time, and then it frustrates us because you get individuals who want more and yet they can't push, and then you get individuals who beat themselves up, and then you get individuals who push for more, get more, and then beat themselves up because they've not got balance. You know, no matter what way you do it, you can be your own poison no matter what way you look at it. It's all about your perception of your situation. That's probably the biggest takeaway I've got from this, is that whenever I do this, it's like therapy. It's like my emails. I might be signed up to my emails. You can do it in my Instagram bio, but like I send them out every couple of days. I think it's been like once a week the last while. And like I say all the time, I'm like, this is my journal. It's just like a podcast. Like I just journal my thoughts down, and it's just release for me, and it allows me to get my thoughts straight. It irons the mind out. Like it's completely, it's not like, you know, venting problems, but it lets me get what I'm feeling down on paper, but it also lets me sort of recenter the thought process, so it's better. Like even the last day or two was about habits and that, and I was like, oh, habits is such a shite mundane word, but I was like, right, well, do the habits we do build ourselves in the moment? And I was even thinking, like, I'm struggling now with habits as I'm moving around, so I was like, right, well, what needs wrote here, what would hit home with me? And then you start outlining that, you know, like the person you want to become, you have to act like it. So if you want abs, you eat good, you train good, you follow everything, and then the abs come. If you want to be successful, if you want to be confident with women, you do all the steps, and then it comes over time. Confidence comes whenever it becomes born. Like that's the only way confidence comes. It becomes when that simple thing becomes born. It's like public speaking used to scare the fuck out of me. I used to get jittery, nervous. Now I've done it that many times that it's just like it doesn't flinch me. And that's when confidence comes. Whenever you do something so many times that it becomes boring. And that is frustrating, but that is actually how even like people get really good at chatting up women, or they get really good at the gym. They do it that many times that it becomes just like second nature, and it's not even effort. There's no effort involved because there's no pressure, and that expectation of what it's going to be like or has to be like or perfection doesn't matter. And that's when real flow comes.
Yeah, it's like people say to me, do you ever get like nervous when you're DJing, standing in front of so many people? And you're like, no, don't even like, like it literally doesn't come into your head because you've done it that many times and you've fucked up that many times. And like the amount of times like shit's went wrong, like from electric going out to music cutting out to fucking somebody having a fucking epileptic fit because the disco lights. Like I've been through it all in a nightclub. So like if someone says to you, oh, you need to turn the music down because there's someone having a fit. You know, I've been through that. Got an electric shock from a fucking smoke machine that nearly electrocuted me. Music's cut out. Electrics went out. You know, you just get used to things happening and standing in front of people. And as Tony says, the reps, that it just becomes second nature. It's like when you learn to drive a car, when you get in the car, you're all like kind of bootery and nervous and murmur, 20 checks in the mirror to move out. And then When you're driving for a while, you just do the stuff and you don't even realize you've done it. Like you've done your three glances at the mirrors, bang, you're gone. Whereas before you're moving your head, you're tilting, you're looking, and now you just do it automatically, bang, check all your corners, boom, you're away. It's like parking, like it's just like it's second nature. It's almost like normal. It's like normal changing the gears and everything. But if you remember when you first started learning to drive, everything was like you were looking down to make sure you were actually going into first. So it's just like everything with practice, it just gets simple, and like people just always get astounded that I don't get nervous. But it's one of those things. It's just reps. It's the same as the gym. It's like when people join the gym, like they get a lot of gym anxiety because they're not used to like training in front of people. Then after about 3 or 4 months, they don't even fucking acknowledge other people are there because they're just in the zone.
The first thing I say is all the time, like I got asked on a podcast recently, I was like, if you have one bit of advice to give anybody, I was like, I'm nothing special in any regards, and nobody is. People that think they are lost. Like whoever you look up to has just done more reps in that field. You can say they're luckier, they might be slightly more talented, slightly more genetically gifted, they've just done more reps and been more consistent than you. And once you realize that, you realize the only thing that separates you and anybody else in any realm, whether it's work, relationships, sex, love, marriage, fucking who's got the most money, who's got the most followers, who's, you know, the best with women or men, or who's the best in bed. It's all down to just repetition, time, effort. And don't get me wrong, you can't just do the same thing consistently. That's shit. It's doing it, reflecting, reviewing, retweaking, going back. And it's the same as like my content. The year I went down 6,000 followers, I was hammering it, putting in more effort than ever. And I just had to keep reflecting, reviewing, retweaking. And then you finally get it right. It's the same with everything. It's the same with like first time you're having sex with a person. It's never going to be picture perfect. You learn the person as you go. It's reps. It's learning. It's knowledge. It's all these things that people are afraid to talk about, but it does make a big difference. And the minute you realize that nobody else is special and you're not either, then you just realize the only difference is the time, effort, and intensity. Now, some people will obviously pick up certain things faster and you'll hear stuff like this. But a lot of the time it's just more time, and then it seems like that illusion of like they're better at it naturally, whatever. A lot of the time it's just that time period put in, that more hours quicker. Because some people will take 10,000 hours to become master, some people take 5,000. The thing is, anybody can do it. It's just a matter of the repetitions. And for me, that is the most important thing. I always love it because it really gets back to the gym. I'm just like, whenever you suck at something or something's not going right, more reps, more hard work, double down, it'll pay off. And it always does. And it's happened in every area of my life, fitness, business, relationships, family, anything went wrong, you double down and it always makes a massive difference in the long run. So I'm excited to see where this goes over the next sort of year or two. I think there's definitely more in-persons to be done. We've done a good couple in-persons. I enjoy them the most. It's just tricky with the time zones and that as well. Yeah. You know yourself.
But I think when we're both kind of back in Ireland, and for a period of time, whatever that is, even if it's like for a 2-week period, I think we're probably the best thing we can do guess-wise is take 2 days and just go get a studio somewhere and bang out 5 or 6 guests and then drip feed them. They'll drip feed them out. And then because it's hot, it's so like you never want to let a guest down. And that's the one thing, because the guests so far, they've all been very good to us and worked around us and worked, you know, kind of helped us out as well. So any guests we get on, we would never expect to fucking ever try to let them down. And you know, but it's just, but two people being so busy. And so you know what? It's the joys that we're lucky to have something like Zoom. You know, we're lucky that we have, and I'm lucky that Tony wakes up fucking early in the morning, because it actually works out pretty well sometimes when there's 7 or 8 hours difference, because it's 2 p.m. my side and 6 a.m. Tony's side. He's raring to go and I'm, you know, I awake a good few hours at that stage. So sometimes it works out for the best, but we're probably going to wrap it here, guys.
Oh, there, you need to go to bed, sir.
No, I need to go DJing.
To work, sorry. Take that back. Yeah,
it's the same thing. Same thing. I'm away for a few days trip then. Yeah, guys, thanks for everything over the last 4 years and whatever amount of episodes.
Big love.
The other thing is too, a lot of he's been asking about the 8-minute hustles. We will bring them back at some stage.
Give us time.
We will bring them back. And as Tony said earlier, any ideas you have, just even if you think it's a fucking mad idea, there's no bad ideas. No, it's a safe place. Send us the maddest ideas you have that you think you'd like to hear in the podcast. We're probably going to have to bring back the anonymous questions again, because we have been asked that a few times. But yeah, hit us up on ideas you have and we will definitely give them a think anyway and try to see what we can do. And yeah, Goodbye. Keep rating, reviewing, sharing, do what yous are doing, and we'll see yous again in the next one.
Enjoy. Big love.